Pittsburgh Sports Exchange, episode number 139. And we have yet another stand special. It is finals week for us college kids. I'm done. But Tim, being the academic weapon that he is, sat this one out. A lot to talk about, though. Rangers and Knicks, up 2-0. For the Knicks, it came at a cost. OG Anunoby probably going to be out for the rest of the series, depending on the MRI that he gets on a hamstring. We'll see what happens there. Celtics take on Tim's Cavs tonight as well. Jared Allen questionable. They go up 1-0. Timberwolves absolutely throttled the Denver Nuggets these past two games. OKC Dallas tonight, they're up 1-0. We will recap everything from the NBA, everything from the NHL. Yankees red hot. Some moves being made in Major League Baseball. Luis Arraez to the San Diego Padres. And we already got a big-time call-up already. Paul Skeens getting called up as well. Also have some best bets along the way. So let's talk about it. The New York Rangers up 2-0 on the Carolina Hurricanes. Game one, they played really well. They played a very serviceable game. It felt like they were controlling the pace of the game. They weren't letting Carolina shoot at will. That's Carolina's way. Get shots at the point. Hope for a deflection. Hope it goes in. The Rangers were playing their game. Phenomenal goal from Alexi Lafreniere. Phenomenal, stellar play from Igor Shesterkin. And I'm happy with the way things went. It got a little bit shaky towards the end in game one, but they were able to battle through it, get the win in game one. Game two was, it was stressful. And I hate to put football terms into this, but Carolina certainly won the line of scrimmage. They certainly won the line of scrimmage those first two periods. But hey, wins a win in the playoffs. Shout out Vince Trocheck. That was a stellar, stellar game from Vincent Trocheck. He has stepped up this playoffs. But yeah, Carolina certainly controlled the pace of the game. They were getting shots at the point, getting deflections. There was a deflection by Gensel. There was a deflection by Dmitry Orlov. There was a little bit of some bonehead plays, i.e., for example, Jacob Trouba taking three penalties and, you know, head diving at, I believe that was, it was either Kokanyemi or Jacob Slavin. I could be very wrong about both of them as well. Or it might have been Marty Nicias, who knows. But anyway, Trouba's play hasn't really been that up to par. Not something you want from the captain. But there's been an outcry for a replacement. But you're not going to replace your captain in the playoffs. That's just not going to happen. And then there's a lot of rumors flying about is Hedl going to come back? Is Rempe going to take a back seat? But then if you take out Rempe, who's the odd man out? Because you have to put Hedl on at least the third line. Does that mean you move Wennberg down to the fourth line? A lot of questions. It seems like Laviolette is sticking with the usual suspects. I believe there weren't any official rushes at the morning skate today. Same normal suspects. Kreider, Zibanejad, and Rozovic. Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere, Cooley, Wember, Kako, VC, Goudreau, Rempe, Lindgren, Fox, Miller, Schneider, Gustafson, and Trouba. Game three tonight for the New York Rangers. There's a bit of a change. As we're recording this, Rod Brind'Amour announced that Pyotr Kochetkov will be in net for the Carolina Hurricanes, claims that he just wants Freddie Anderson to get some rest. I am very confused on the fact, why would you want to give Freddie Anderson some rest due to the fact that he's been one of the best goalies in the playoffs so far? I feel like this is sort of you do want to give him rest, obviously, because he's been one of the best goalies in the playoffs. But on the other hand, maybe you're looking for a spark for Carolina here. Maybe, you know, if the play of Kochetkov really inspires this Hurricanes team, maybe they can somehow manage a winning game one. We all know how well at home Carolina plays. So this is certainly a decision, a big crucial decision that was made by Rod Brind'Amour. I do want to mention the splits. since the 2021-22 season, the win-loss record in Carolina at their home and road splits, 15-4 at home, 4-13 on the road. If you're the Rangers, you just get one. Just get one. Because if you let's all be honest here. It's the Carolina Hurricanes. If you think that this series is going to be easy, you're wrong. I'm expecting the comeback to happen. It's just a I feel like it's a matter of when, not if. There's a... I just have a feeling. It's just a hunch. I will gladly take a sweep. Do not get me wrong. But there's... I don't know. I just get weird vibes from it. We all know how backup goalies do against the Raiders in the playoffs. For example, Louis Domingue. So we'll see what happens there. Other news in the NHL. I mean, the other series, my apologies. The Edmonton Oilers. Woo! My God. How do you fuck that up? How the hell do you fuck that up? Unbelievable. Unbelievable how you fuck that up. You're 4-1. And just from watching that game, if you hid the score from me, and I was just watching that game from a neutral standpoint, it did not look like the Edmonton Oilers were up 4-1. It did not at all. It seemed like the great play of Stuart Skinner was sort of out the door. And then there was the Stuart Skinner that we all knew and loved. The play of Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci was absolutely abysmal. 3 goals in less than 5 minutes. Vancouver gets a big, big home game 1 win. Because if you're Edmonton, you're stealing home ice advantage. You were favored to win this series. And now if you just get one at... Here's the thing, though. If you just get one, if you beat them tomorrow, then maybe you forget about game one. Then it's a new series. It's a new series, and then you have the home ice advantage. So I don't know. It's shit like that just can't happen, though. It can't happen, especially when you're that talented of a team. I feel like it happens with Edmonton, not every year, but most of the time. It's always like, yeah, they have McDavid and Draisaitl, but the defensemen have been nothing short of awful. And they were phenomenal against LA. Perfect on the penalty kill. I believe they were, 8 of 15 on the power play or something like that. And then now, I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. That was a great comeback by Vancouver. I know everyone's counting them out as frauds and all that, and you can say what you want about the Vancouver Canucks, but my God, that was an abysmal performance from the Edmonton Oilers in that third period. Inexcusable. They have to bounce back in game 2, because if they go down 2-0 going at home, I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. I see Vancouver winning that series. Next up, speaking of blown leads, the Colorado Avalanche up 1-0 in the series. The Dallas Stars scored three first period goals and lost 4-3 in overtime. It felt like in the first period, I mean, I was watching it during the, we got to mention this. I completely forgot. ESPN switching. And it was an accident. And I've worked in control rooms before. Never with, switching from network to network. But how do you fuck that up? How the hell do you fuck that up? It's the end of the third period. The Rangers are on. This is in game 2, by the way. The Rangers are on the power play. There's 20 seconds left after Carolina's gotten chance after chance shorthanded. And now you're switching over to the Dallas-Colorado game? I was ready for a Heidi moment. And shout out to the Jets fans that know what the Heidi Bowl is. For those who don't know, the Jets played the Raiders in a big-time playoff game in the 60s on CBS. And there was a TV movie that was coming on after the game called Heidi. And the game was going on I believe it was supposed to go on at like 9 o'clock or something like that. 9 o'clock hits. It's the fourth quarter. The Jets are up what? Like 12? The Jets are up 12. Heidi comes on. Everyone's freaking the fuck out. They come back. The Raiders took the lead and they fucking win the game. I literally was ready for the Stars game to come on and then come back to the Ranger game and Sean McDonough screaming that somehow Carolina scored on a shorthanded goal to win the game. I was freaking the fuck out. I was screaming my head off. That was fucking unbelievable. That is inexcusable. How do you fuck up that bad? How? How do you screw up that bad? Unbelievable. Unfucking believable. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I still have it like in my head, and I've kind of lost it because of the Knicks, but oh my God. How do you fuck up that bad? How? How do you fuck up that bad? Anyways, Avalanche down 3-0 the first period, come back, score 4 unanswered to win in overtime 4-3. In the first period, it felt like it was Colorado was very rusty. They hadn't played in close to a week. Dallas coming off of a 7-game series against Vegas. And then I'm losing it here. It felt like the rust was there for Colorado. And then once that second period hit, those star players fucking stepped up, man. I'm telling you. Colorado's a real threat with all those star players. We saw it 2 years ago with their Stanley Cup run, and they have all the pieces to do it. Nishushkin, Makar, McKinnon. The list goes on. You can even the list goes on. Colorado's a real threat, man. And everyone's always like, oh, the goaltending. They won a Stanley Cup with Darcy fucking Kemper. If they can win a Stanley Cup with Darcy Kemper, I'm fully confident that they can win a Stanley Cup with Alexander Georgiev. That's really all I got there. But game two's tonight. Dallas is favored. I think Dallas just has to play the way that they played in the first period. If I'm being honest, Wyatt Johnston got his 5th goal of the playoffs. They just need to rely on their guys. They got star players on that first line. Jason Robinson, Roope Hintz. Wyatt Johnston, he's only 20. I love how that's like the joke now. He's only 20. Throwback to Jason Tatum. But, oh, man. God. Colorado goes up 2-0. I mean, we've seen it before, though. Dallas goes down 2-0. They win 2 games on the road. They force a game 7, win it at home. But I don't think they can get away with it playing a team like Colorado. I really just don't see it. And last but not least, the Bruins and Panthers tied at 1 with the NHL. Tied at 1 game apiece. This is real hockey, man. Panthers get their first win against the Bruins all season, regular and post. They are now 1-5 against them. It felt like this was a dirty game. I mean, I was sort of occupied with the Knicks that I couldn't really see what was going on there. But from what it seemed like, misconduct penalties were being tossed around like they were fucking candy. But if you're Boston, it's sort of a success. That road trip was sort of a success. You take one. If you just take one on a 2-game road in those first 2 games and you don't have home ice advantage, that is a success. You come back home. Now you have the home ice advantage. And I'm really curious to see what's going to happen in Boston, because I feel like Florida's too talented of a team. I know Jeremy Swayman's playing probably the best goalie on the planet right now. I know Igor Shesterkin had like 50-something saves, but I don't know. I'm torn. I'm kind of torn on what's going to happen with this series. I kind of want to see Florida, but at the same time, I think Boston at home, they've sort of owned Florida all year. I think Boston takes it tomorrow. And if you're getting a team in the playoffs in hockey as a home underdog, that's all I'm going to say. All I'm going to say. That's going to wrap it up with the NHL. It's going to be a pretty quick episode due to it being just me. But anyway, Knicks go up 2-0. And after game 2, I have some choice words about the Indiana Pacers. And it starts with Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle saying that these small market teams are not getting the calls that the big market teams get. Let's all be honest here. It is not about the small market teams. They can bitch and moan all they want. They could show, what was it, 78 fucking plays that were deemed uncalled in games 1 and 2. Play the fucking game, Rick. Play the fucking game. And just stop fucking complaining and keep your mouth shut. That's all I'm going to say on Rick Carlisle. He's complaining about the small market when Oklahoma City and Minnesota are undefeated in the playoffs this year. They're a combined 11-0. A combined 11-0. Right? Yeah, no, they each won 5 games. That's 10-0. No, because Minnesota's won 2. I suck at math. They're a combined 11-0 in the playoffs this year, and you want to say that the reason why they're not getting calls is because the Pacers aren't, your team isn't getting calls is because they're in a small market? Be fucking for real. Stop complaining. Be a man. Take it off the chin and be a fucking man, Rick. Come on. It's absurd. It feels like the Philly series all over again, where everyone's just fucking complaining and filing grievances. And you're saying that. And you're saying that. No Julius Randle for the Knicks. No Bojan Bogdanovic. Mitchell Robinson's out for the year. Same with Randle and Bogdanovic, by the way. Jalen Brunson misses the majority of the first half. Comes back, lights it up. OG Anunoby's out for the entire fourth quarter. He had 28 points in 28 minutes. The Pacers gave up 130 points in 98 possessions. Do you realize how unheard of that is in today's league? That's how fucking horrible the Indiana Pacers are at defense. And don't even get me started with the whole Reggie Miller shit. I understand that you want to boost ratings and have the guy that's owned the Garden and owns the Knicks. Meanwhile, he's like, what, like 7-44 in his career against the Knicks or something? I remember seeing something, some crazy shit like that. So they want to do that, fine. It was beautiful poetry when the entire arena, the entire Garden, chanting fuck you Reggie at Reggie Miller. And the best part was Josh Hart going up to him being like, I don't think I can really hear him, but I think they're saying fuck you. Yeah, they are. Fuck you, Reggie Miller. Fuck you. I hate everything about the Indiana Pacers right now. They're enemy number one. To everyone saying that the Knicks are overrated, fuck you. Fuck you. Anyway, there's my rant. We go to the other series, Minnesota and Denver. Anthony Edwards. God damn. God damn. Are you serious? Holy shit. Anthony Edwards, this man, Anthony Edwards. A star is born. A star is born. I felt like that the Timberwolves were going to win this series. Did I think that they were going to take the first two games on the road? Absolutely not. If anything, I thought they were going to at least split. The way that they've won these past two games have been absolutely ridiculous. And now they go tomorrow. They're hefty, not a hefty favorite. I believe it's at like 4.5, 5.5. I think Minnesota has this. And now they have a legitimate shot at fucking winning this whole thing. And I'm not kidding. The culture in Minnesota has changed, especially for a city that hasn't really won much. Remember, 2 years ago, they were fucking standing on tables celebrating that they made it through the play-in. That they made it through the play-in and got a 7 seed. They were celebrating that. And now here they are, 2 wins away from the conference finals. And even that, game 2, there's no Rudy Gobert, your defensive player of the year. There's no Rudy Gobert. Holy shit. This fucking team's coming from out of nowhere. On top of all that, your coach, I mean, this is just such a rally cry. Your coach tears his patellar tendon. Undefeated in the playoffs. Undefeated. I can't believe this. I truly cannot believe it. I have not seen this Nuggets team get throttled like this before. I wouldn't say that they sweep Minnesota, but I'm going to give a hot take. Minnesota sweeps Denver. They kill them tomorrow, and then I believe they play, what is it, Sunday? Do they play Sunday? Yes, they do. They play Sunday. Unbelievable. unfucking believable. These fucking Timberwolves, man. Elijah Man once said, they have Kevin Durant, but we got Jaden McDaniels. And a statement has never been more true, isn't it? Unbelievable. To the series going on tonight. Best bets for these series. Let's start off with the Celtics. Celtics go up 1-0 on Cleveland. Was there ever any doubt? There was no Jared Allen. I know the Celtics don't have Kristaps Porzingis, but I seriously think that they're better off just resting him until they make it to the conference finals. Because right now, the Celtics look like the team to beat. And no shit, they are. But I don't see a world where Cleveland wins a game this series. I seriously think they get swept. It seems like that ever since the game two against Miami, where they lost on their home floor, everyone was like, oh fuck, the Heat culture. They lost without Jimmy Butler. They lost by a pretty decent margin too. It seems like this team has just kicked it into high gear and is just giving absolutely zero fucks. And now, let's kick it off with my best bet. It seems like that they've really kicked ass in the first half, and they have. Best bet, ring the bell. I know we haven't said that in a while. Celtics first half, team total over 58.5. They've hit this total 5 out of the 6 games in the playoffs. They've gone over 60. 5 out of the 6 games of the playoffs. I am surprised that the total hasn't hit 60 yet. Like, the markets haven't put the total above 60 or above. Because right now, if they keep on doing this, I'm just going to hammer it. I'm just going to hammer the fuck out of it. I can't. Who am I to decide? But seriously, Celtics team first half team total over. Trust me. Trust the process. And then last but not least, OKC up 1-0 on the Dallas Mavericks. Luka is not 100% at all. You just see the way he's been playing. You just see the way that he's been playing as of late. And there's just really a – there's really like – he just doesn't have that extra step on him. And I know like – Kyrie Irving's been all right, Gafford as well, but God, they just don't have the players to back it up. They don't have the players to back it up, and plus OKC runs 10 deep. They run a 10-man rotation. Jalen Williams shined, and speaking of Jalen Williams, yet another best bet. Over 9.5 rebounds plus assists over in 5 of 5 playoff games that they've played all year. I think that this is an easy hit. Don't get me wrong. If I'm wrong, then yeah, it's the Stan Mush. But anyway, game 2, I believe, is tonight. Oh, but yeah, no shit. I have a bet for it. Game 2 is tonight. OKC's favored by 5, I want to say. Let's see. OKC favored by 4.5. I just have a feeling OKC is just going to take this. Luka's not 100% healthy. I seriously think OKC takes this in 5 games. I'll give Dallas a win at home, but I just don't see a world where Dallas wins this series without Luka at 100%. Because right now, he hasn't really been much. What's the market? Actually, I'm actually going to look this up. I may have another best bet. Ever since this knee injury, Luka has gone under his rebound total. So now I'm trying to figure out where the hell, like, what's his rebound total at? Because if it's still at 9.5, I'm hammering the under. I'm checking right now. Let's see. Where to go? NBA. Dallas. Now it's jumped to 5. There we go. Player rebounds. Luka Doncic. It's still at 9.5, but there's juice towards the under, but I still take it. I'd still take it. He hasn't really, like, he's sort of just beating guys off the dribble and shooting jump shots. I haven't really seen I haven't really seen Luka go in for a driving layup, hopefully miss it, gets the rebound. Even on defense, too, when a shot goes up, he's kind of just laying back. The only way he's getting a rebound on defense is if it falls right in his lap. I don't know. OKC takes this in 5 easily. It's just that there's two, The 10-man rotation is really a selling point because it's just really absurd with what Mark Dagenau has done with this team, and it's insane. And the fact that SGA did not win MVP, I'm just going to say it, SGA should have won MVP. If you're a guard in this league, this NBA, this current NBA, and you're shooting 54% from the field as a guard, are you fucking kidding me? Holy shit. Congrats to Jokic, though. Puts him in the within the all-time greats. But three MVPs, but I think that should have been SGA's. Anyway, that's enough NBA, enough NHL. Let's go to baseball. My, oh my, the Yankees are on fire. And I remember last episode I said that this team was boring. Not boring, but weird. It was a weird team with the way that they've been playing as of late. And then now, all of a sudden, they look like the best team in baseball. They're not in... they're not in... they're not in first place percentage-wise. They do have an advantage in the win column over Baltimore by one. Baltimore takes on... No, they don't. Yankees have a chance. They're off today. Yankees have a chance to move into first place in the division, I believe. Percentage-wise? Actually, no, I don't think they do. Again, I suck at math. Anyway, we were talking about how Aaron Judge hasn't really been that great, but ever since then, look at this. 349, 4 home runs, 11 RBIs, 462 on-base percentage, 1.182 OPS. And then Juan Soto's just been doing his thing the past 12 games, hitting 383, 5 extra base hits, 11 RBIs, 453 on base percentage, and a 1.091 on base percentage. This is what we signed up for, Yankee fans. And get fucking excited. Get excited. Get excited. There's still some holes. Stanton's getting hot too. I don't know what the hell they're going to do with when Dominguez comes back. Alex Verdugo has been a godsend at the cleanup spot. He's stepped up. He's stepped up in a gigantic way. Loving it. This is a great time to be a New York sports fan right now. Hell of a time to be a New York sports fan. The Mets, they were swept by Tampa Bay over the weekend. Then they split. I know they took a game in St. Louis. Oh, no. They took 2 out of 3 in St. Louis. The game was postponed on yesterday. I believe the game has been moved to... Have they even announced a makeup day? Checking the schedule right now. Probably during like some time. No. Monday, August 5th. August 5th. That's the makeup game. So... The Mets have been, McNeil has not been the best. McNeil has not been the greatest. And then there's really, like, nothing really to say about the Mets right now. They're kind of just in the middle. Yeah, 18 and 18. I mean, Spin Zone, they're tied for a wild card spot. So we'll give you that, but we'll definitely find out who's a contender and who's not by the end of the season. But holy shit. Damn. Baseball's flying by. Big trade that happened over the weekend. Luis Arraez traded to the San Diego Padres for prospects. The Marlins GM basically said, we're not making the playoffs, so they're just going to sell now. Obviously, that's going to mean some top players are definitely going to go. I thought they had Jorge Soler. They didn't. He's on the Giants now. Jazz Chisholm, definitely want to mention their pitching as well. There could be a chance Sandy Alcantara could be on the way, although he's out with Tommy John surgery. Luzardo is also hurt as well. That was also a big deadline target. There's really... They just keep on doing this. They keep on getting fooled yet again. They easily could have just ran it back with everybody else. They could have ran it back. And then they made the playoffs last year. and they consider that a success, and then they just take five steps back and rebuild the hard way. This gives San Diego a hell of a lineup. It gives them some hitting. But it doesn't – he's not the best fielder, so they're slotting him a DH. What they really need is an outfielder, because I don't think you're going to cut it with Fernando Tatis in outfield. I'm sorry. But there's really like – I don't understand. They throw Arise at DH. It feels like his spot. He's not the best fielder in the world, but we'll see what happens. And last but not least, Paul Skeens is getting the call. Just like that. Just like that. I've never seen a quicker call up. And you thought Jackson Holliday was quick. Holy shit, this guy, Paul Skeens got drafted last year. Not even last year. Not even a full year. Last June. In June, he got called up. Last year, he was winning the College World Series. Fast forward a year later, not even 11 and a half months later, he's starting in an MLB game. Jesus Christ. This gives the Pirates a lot of good pitching. Mitch Keller, you can add Skeens in there. Does he qualify for Rookie of the Year voting? I believe that would make him qualified. He starts Saturday against the Cubs. It's at home, so asses are going to be in the seats. My only issue, is that, well, this gives you great pitching. Jared Jones has been great. Martin Perez has been, somewhat solid. Mitch Keller, You throw Paul Skeens in there. The issue is the hitting. Brian Reynolds isn't really pulling his weight. He's hitting 240. O'Neill Cruz has been all right, but 692 OPS isn't that great. They need hitting. Ke'Bryan Hayes, same thing. Like, hitting 240, OPS in the 600s, all right. They need hitting. They need hitting in the worst way. And it's cool. It's cool that Paul Skeens is getting the call. Great. Great for baseball. Pirates need some hitting. They need some hitting in the worst way, desperately. All right. It was a quick episode. Just went through everything. See? Know what I saw. No fun fact of the day. No top five. Just going to leave it at that. Nice little half hour. Just shoot the shit. Leave it at that. Tim will be back next week. Hopefully in person. That'd be awesome. Tim in person. And we get the tripod out. Awesome. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, X, and TikTok. Be sure to like this video, subscribe to our YouTube, comment on our videos on YouTube. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify. 5 stars only. We will see you guys hopefully Tuesday. I hope so. Hopefully Tuesday. Go Rangers. Go Knicks. Peace out, guys.